Welcome to the KICC Malawi podcast. Our prayer is that this message will speak to your heart.
All right, today we're talking about the greatest of these is love. I have been thinking for some days now and for some weeks, and I hope what I've been thinking about, you also think about it. You know, we're not going to be here forever. You know, one day this world is going to end, and when it ends, or go to heaven. And there are three things that should help us as we wait for the return of Christ until we experience the consummation and become like the Lord. Three things should help us on this journey. One of them is faith. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is. And that is the reward of them that diligently seek Him. So I believe that the God we worship, we believe that He is. We believe that this is a God who exists. He is not an abstract. He is not an imagination of men. He is real. And one day, we are going to see Him face to face. Hallelujah. One day we are going to see God face to face. The way you are seeing me and the way I am seeing you, one day this thing, it will not just be you and me, we are going to see God. Hallelujah. And that understanding should make us to live life differently. Hallelujah. Amen. The second thing that has to help us on this journey is hope. When you give up on hope, even life, when you give up hope on life, you can die. Amen. You can actually be gone. I've seen and heard stories of people who eventually say, I have suffered long enough. Let me just die. At that point, they've given up hope on living. You can even give up hope on marriage. You know that? You can give up. And you can just be existing. When you come to church like this, you look at me and my wife, you feel like things are moving, that's a great marriage. You don't know. Then we give up on each other. Hope. If you give up on hope, you can actually die. And then the third thing is love. And the scripture we're going to read today says, when you take hope, when you take faith and you take love, the greatest of these three is love. So today I'll be talking about love. Amen. Amen. I know you already believe in God. I know you're already born again. If you're not born again, I'll give you an opportunity to be born again at the end. Because you can't get to heaven without being born again. You can't. You will not see Jesus without being born again. You will not. The one you see is the devil. If you are not born again, that's the only way to go to heaven, see God face to face, enter heaven. There's only one way, and that one way is being born again. Let nobody lie to you. That's the only way to heaven. Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. Accepting Him as Savior and accepting Him as Lord and surrendering life to Him and say, rule in my life, take full authority in my life. That's the only way. No other way. Anything else you hear is not true. Hallelujah. Amen. So today I'm talking about love. Our life in church, in the church, is strongest and most effective when we have genuine love for one another. Which means there is also fake love. But when there is genuine love for one another, even in marriage, your marriage is going to be very strong. Your marriage is going to be very effective, even us as a church. The one that is going to make us strong, the one that is going to make us effective as a church, is genuine love for one another. When I desire and to seek the good of you, and you desire to seek the good of me, just as I am, things are going to be great. And I think that's what makes marriage tough. Because when you get married, you truly get to know the person as they are. I love it when people are in love. In love meaning they are in a relationship and they are thinking about getting married. You actually think, wow, it's so beautiful, wow. And then life happens. I saw somebody wearing a t-shirt called Ilongwe Happens. I don't know what they mean. Last week, I said, we as a church, we are a body. We are a body. The way your body is, that's how we as a church are. Different parts of the body, interconnected, but supporting each other in ways that we cannot see. You may not even think that the hair on my head helps my toes. But my toes need the hair on my head. My toes need my fingers. So you're of great use to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Don't believe all this lie. You are of great use to the body of Christ. We are so connected. You need me, I need you. You need that brother needs you. You need that sister needs you. So when you see that things are not working anywhere, if things are not working in a church, if things are not working in a family, if things are not working in a nation, if things are not working in a community, if things are not working even at your workplace, there is only one problem. It's a love problem. And this love is not romantic love. Because even romantic love, I have seen, God is good. You know, there's a point when you are married and you actually wonder. You actually begin to feel, is my love gone? Or is it still here? That's when you realize there's one greatest love. It's called agape love. The God kind of love. Without the God kind of love, marriage can't work.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Without the God kind of love, it can't work. So if one has an encounter with God, don't worry. That's introduction. If a person has an encounter with God, I mean encounter.
Amen.
Okay, encounter, it means me, I have met Pastor Patrick. Okay? It's not that. I hear there is Pastor Patrick Uka, but I can tell people, I have met Pastor Sunga, me, I have met Faith, me, I have met you. That's encounter. I can describe how you look, how you live, how you do things. So you, once you are here on earth, you can have an encounter with God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And if you have an encounter with God and you don't have love in your heart, then I wonder if you really met God.
Amen.
Possibly it's not God you met, you met the devil. I'm telling you, if you have an encounter with God, you know encounter. If you have an encounter with God, this is the thing whereby Pastor McDuff says, when you have an encounter with God, you know God for yourself.
Amen.
You know Him for yourself. It's not about we came to church, pastor preached, and whatever. No way. This one, you know. And nobody can move you.
Amen.
I think I heard first from Brother Martin, and then I heard yesterday, the brother was teaching us in leadership yesterday. He says, the God you know is the God you will preach.
Amen.
The God you know. If the God you know is an angry God, you will preach anger. If the God you know is a deceiver, your life will be full of deceit. If the God you know is not kind, you're not going to be kind.
Amen.
If the God you know is not forgiving, you're not going to be forgiving. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if you have an encounter with God, I mean encounter, and I'll say that word so many times today. When you have an encounter with God, one thing guaranteed, your life, your heart is going to be filled with love.
Amen.
If you truly meet God, then love will flow out of your life. Do you know the reason why? Because God is love.
Amen.
If you want to know who God is love. And actually the problems we have around in the world, I've been thinking about this. I woke up very early today, and I was getting ready. My wife was like, Pastor McDuff, how are you, Pastor McDuff? I'm like, I'm good, love. She says, Makuzumugar. And I was like, you don't know what's going on in my life. You have no idea. I think I met God. And I honestly, right now, I feel like I'm not a Christian. Because I think I met Him. And the things I'm going to share. So this message is me. Is God talking to me. Me, I'm just now being used to talk to you. Our generation needs love. Our generation needs the love of God. In the church today, we need the love of God. That's the only problem we have. The love of God is an ingredient that is missing than ever before.
Amen.
You can cook a very nice meal, smelling very, very nice. Unless at the hospital, they told you, Muzija zopa na njere. But I believe even those ones, they know something is missing in this food. And the only reason why we have challenges is because there is an ingredient missing. That love is missing in our marriages. That love is missing in the church. That love is missing in our communities. That love is missing in our workplaces. That love is missing in the church.
Amen.
The absence of love is worse even amongst those that are most spiritual.
Amen.
In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 18, New King James Version, Paul Paul writes these things. You find what I'm going to read, the first phrase, you find it again in verse 1. Then I went to check, but this is what he says. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, what is the length, what is the depth, and what is the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You read that, possibly it doesn't make sense. But let me try to show you what I saw. I tried to check, why is he saying for this reason? The reason is, this is the reason. The reason is that both Gentiles is you and me. We are not Jews. Okay? We are not Jews. We are not the ones he chose at the beginning. We are not. He chose the Jews. But there is something that God did. The reason Paul is talking about, and when you read that, Paul, it's amazing what Paul is saying. He says, all these things I'm telling you were not revealed to all the other prophets of old. It was revealed to me, even though I am the least of them all, that I should tell you this. And this is what he's telling them. He says, the Gentiles and the Jews who believe the good news, who believe in Jesus, they share equally. When we say we are sharing equally, it means 100-100. 50-50. We are sharing equally. Nobody is thinking you have duped me. So he says, the Jews and us, we share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Hallelujah. Amen. Everything that God has said, my children have to inherit, you and the Jews, me and the Jews, all of us together, man, woman, boy, girl, Gentile, Jew, slave, free, we share equally. Why is that the case? Because we are part of the same body. We are part of the same body. When I eat something, my whole body benefits. It's not only my arms, even my head benefits. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it says we share equally. We are part of the same body. And both of us enjoy the promise of blessings for one reason. We belong to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You need to belong to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he says, in verse 18, there is something that I want you to see. There is mathematics in verse 18. This is a maths. It says, when you are rooted and grounded in love. Okay? When you are rooted and grounded in God. When you are rooted and grounded in love. The kind of love we are talking about today. He says you are going to understand something. And he says what you are going to understand. And he says you will understand with the saints. And he says this is what you are going to understand. You are going to understand the width, length, depth, and height. And he says to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So let's do mathematics. Okay. When you take length and multiply it by width, what do you get? You get area. All right? You get area. When you take length, you multiply it by width, and you multiply it by height, what do you get?
Volume.
You get volume. When you take length, you multiply it by width, you multiply it by height, you multiply it by depth, what do you get? Huh? My uncle woman. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you get length and width, you get area. When you take length and width and height, you get volume. But when you take length, multiply it by height, multiply it by width, multiply it by depth, you can't measure it. That's how you can't measure it. And I want you to know, the love of God, you can't measure it.
Amen.
You cannot measure the love of God. And that's why Paul is saying, if you take these things, you are now going to know the love of Christ. And that love passes all knowledge. And that love, eventually, you're going to be filled with all the fullness of what? God. That's why some people, when you begin to do that, you get to a certain point that people may not understand what you're doing. And the people will eventually tell you, Mungu wake udio. Because they can't understand how you're doing things. That's preaching for another day, okay? But I want you to understand that the patience of the Lord led to our salvation. Truly, truly, for some of us, if God was not patient with us, we wouldn't be sitting here today. And the patience of God is the one that is making you to live the way you are living, the way you live, and think you're not going to be judged. And God is still giving you a chance and say, maybe someday, one day, you'll come to your senses and understand that this patience, you can't take it for granted. I don't know. Do you know that you and I can die anytime? Do you know that? Okay, so if you die today, is it a one? I know you tell me you're going to heaven. Are you sure? The patience of God made Christ to come and find us bound in chains in the depth of hell and set us free. And eventually had to die and rose again, and he says, I'm not ashamed of you. Have you ever been ashamed of other people before? Christ is not ashamed of you. He says, I'm not ashamed to call you my brother. I'm not ashamed to call you my sister. And I'll come back to that in my next whatever preaching. That I'm going to come back to that. But this is the challenge that Paul gives to the church in Colossae. He says, if then you were raised with Christ from wherever he found you, if then, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Amen.
And these are the things that challenge me. Because God says, okay, my dove, if then you were raised with Christ, then when you begin to seek things, you're not going to just be seeking things anyhow. You're going to seek those things which are above. And who is above God? He says, you're going to seek me. You're going to seek me. You will want me to consummate you. You want me to really, you want your life to be absorbed in my life. And at the end of the day, people are going to see me in you. And I was like, do people really see Christ in me now? And I was like, does my wife see God in me? Do my children see Christ in me? That's our church. When I preach and pray and stand on a Sunday, can they say they see Jesus in me? It says, even when you begin to set your mind, you begin to set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth.
Amen.
And it says, because you died. And that's what Paul writes in Galatians chapter 2:20. He says, you died. And I was like, but did I really die? Did I really die? Because I am still here. This is still me. He says, you died, Macduff. You died. And this walk, you are walking with God. You need to walk with God in a way that you understand and know that your life is hidden with Christ in God.
Amen.
Now, if my life is hidden with Christ in God, who do people see? God. And he says, when Christ appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. In him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the church in Corinth didn't understand all this, because that's where we're going. It didn't. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is talking about spiritual gifts. But there was an issue. Because Paul is teaching them, and it's funny, because 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is talking about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is also talking about spiritual gifts, much as it dwells more on prophecy. But in the middle of these two books, he puts in another book. And he talks about the excellence of love, the supremacy of love. I want you to know, you can have gifts of the Holy Spirit and not walk in love.
Amen.
And there's a problem. Because the church in Corinth, Paul is telling them, I want you to understand, brothers, that spiritual gifts are given to the followers of Jesus Christ to manifest God's grace.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And as you begin to manifest the grace of God, the church is going to grow in unity, and the church is going to grow in interconnection. The church will understand. Pastor Madaf will understand. I need Patrick. Without Patrick, I can't do this. I need Naomi. I need Sunga. And everybody in the church will understand. On my own, I cannot be able to do it. I need my brothers. I need my sisters.
Amen.
And he says, that thing will only be able to happen when you begin to extend grace to each other. When you begin to extend chisomo kwa winandinzake. When you begin to extend grace. And I was like, how many times do we in the church extend grace to each other?
Amen.
The problem in Corinth was that the members of the church were competing. They were competing, they competed and used their gifts to express how better they were, how more deserving they were than another person. When you set your mind on things above, you don't need to compete with anyone. And this morning I told God, I said, God, you know what? I don't need to be a church. I don't need to pastor a church for me to live for you. Even if you take the church away from me, I'm going to live for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And I don't need even to compete for position with anyone else. Just use me as I am. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he says, these guys, they were competing. And Paul comes in and begins to correct the misrepresentation of spiritual gifts. And he says, look here, Corinthians, you can be impressive from the worldly perspective, but without love, you are nothing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You are not going to have any meaningful effect of to your gifting or to your actions. And in chapter 14, he rebukes them because they are using tongues to compete with each other.
Amen.
They were more or less like, okay, yambayago malidimi. Rabababa kishka kakaka. He said, uone anga. Kukaku. I'm pumped at you. And I came to discover something today. Do you know what, guys? The Bible says, tongues one day will end.
Amen.
It says even prophecy. And I was like, I think we are wasting our time. Because if you check now, everybody's about tongues, everybody's about prophecy. And I'm not too confused in this. What is that?
Amen.
Why can't we just pursue God? Hallelujah. This problem exists to this day, and it's possibly even worse to this day, because in today's church there is too much focus on power and not character.
Amen.
How much does have? Is it easy? Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want you, KIC, say, listen to me. Gifts will not, do not take people to heaven.
Amen.
Character does.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't care. I honestly, I don't care. You okay? Prophesy as much as you want to prophesy. Speak in tongues as much as you want to speak in tongues. Even if you come to me and say, from today begin to call me apostle, we'll call you apostle. But that is not going to take you to heaven. They don't. Gifts don't take people to where?
Amen.
To heaven.
Amen.
Character does. And love is God's character. Because God is love. That's why love is the greatest of them all. Anybody who meets Jesus, something positive must happen in their life. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 1 to 3. Then I'll move on to the other ones. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. And I was amazed. I was like, ah. Kuliso marilime antu. Ne kuliso marilime angelo. Dina nganga wandaju. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Though I speak, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Let me show you a clanging cymbal. Though I speak with the tongues of men and the tongues of angels, but do not have love, I have become... Have you heard anything? Noise. That's all I have become, noise. And you know the reason why? Because it doesn't have the stamp of love on it.
Amen.
I've just become noise. And he says, even though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, inuyo maenda mavumbulutso. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And people go like, wow, I've never seen it in the Bible before. The man is flowing. Oh. In the Bible, it says, even though I can understand all mysteries, even though I can have all the knowledge, even though I can have all the faith, and speak to mountains and say, mountain, move. And the mountains begin to move. But I have no love. I am nothing.
Amen.
How many of us in this room have got faith? Hands up. You have faith? Are you walking in love? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Says I am nothing. And he says, even though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, is feeding the poor bad?
No.
No. But you know, do you know that you can feed the poor without love? Mm. He says, and I give my body to be burned for others, but have not love. It profits me nothing. So let me say three things. Number one, it is expected of us as children of God, after we have made Christ, that our lives should have an effect, should have an impact, and should influence other people. You need to make a positive difference on other people's lives.
Amen. Amen.
And Paul is saying, Madafiri, if you meet Christ and you speak with the tongues of men and tongues of angels, but you don't have love, you are as noisy as that noise I just showed you right now. Do you know what? Let me do it again. And I'm going to show you something else. I want you to see something. Patrick, begin to speak. Start speaking to the people. Just stand up, Patrick. Start speaking to the people. What was that? Destruction. Destruction. Annoying destruction. And a lot of us have annoying destruction. Because we don't have love. I can speak tongues of angels. I can speak tongues of men. But I don't show people love. I am annoying. If I have annoyed you, please forgive me. The noise tells you nothing. There is no impact on that. Brothers and sisters, words only are not enough.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number two, when you meet Christ, brothers and sisters, you have to change. You cannot be the same Macduff we met 2 years ago. You cannot continue walking in the rubbish stuff, Macduff, you are still walking in. You can't. There has to be a change. You need to have a certain kind of personhood, if I can call it. Have you met people and you go like, oh, Macduff and Asinta. You remember I've told you before, me without the Holy Spirit, you can't sit with me. And slowly, slowly, the Lord is working on my life.
Amen.
Slowly.
Amen.
There is somebody you become after you have met God. And Paul says, Macduff, after you have met God, you can have the gift of prophecy and speak a new message from God, not from the devil, from God, to the people every Sunday. This is what God was speaking to me. You can speak to those people every Sunday, and you have this, and people say, this is fresh bread. Have you ever tasted fresh bread before? Is the smell of fresh bread amazing? If there's fresh bread coming out of the oven and there's already bread on the shelf, people are going to go for the fresh bread and not the one already on the shelf. So the same thing, he says, this thing can happen to you. You can have fresh bread. Be a very good preacher. Understand all the mysteries and unveil and earth things that other people have never seen before in the Bible, and possess all the knowledge, all the issues about life, about God. And when you're speaking, you wow the people, and you have all the faith, and you heal the sick, and you speak to demons, and demons get out, and you do all these amazing stuff that people are looking for. And everybody say, man of God, woman of God, woman of God. But Macduff, if you have no love, you are nothing.
Amen.
That's why, you know, there are some people who get annoyed if you don't address them by their right title.
Yes.
Pastor Macduff, no, apostle. Useless stuff. I'm telling you, those things don't take people to heaven. It says, you know what? There is a personality. There's something that needs to come out of you. You need to influence people. You need to have an impact on people. But then secondly, it says, there needs to be a formation of Christ formed in you.
Amen.
And it says, all these things are not just for nothing, because I also want you to walk with an understanding that there is an eternal reward. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's not just leave anyhow. I want us to understand when we are done here, we are going to receive a reward in heaven.
Amen.
But it's going to be based on what you have done on earth.
Amen.
And it says, look here. And I started thinking, and I actually thank God about something else. Because I think motive matters a lot why you do some things. Motive matters a lot. What is your motive? Why do you do what you do? So what I'm going to say right now, I'm not saying it's wrong. That's why I've brought in motive. What is the reason behind? I told you can feed the poor. But you can feed the poor so that people should see that you are feeding the poor.
Amen.
We can start broadcasting KICC Malawi on TV, but the issue is, what is the intention? Is it because everybody is on TV and therefore we too also need to be on TV? Because then it's going to be competition. We can go on radio today, but what is the motive of us being on radio? Hallelujah. We can begin to put stuff in newspapers and all that. I see people all the time. They do an act of generosity. They put it on TV. They put it on social media. They put it in newspapers. Paul is saying, yes, you can do that. You can give all your possessions and feed the poor. You can surrender your body to be burned. But if you do not have love, it does you no good at all.
Amen.
And I started asking myself, why do we do some of the things we do? I even asked myself, Macduff, why do you do some of the things you do? I was rebuked the other day. It was a very hard rebuke. You know, I do consultancies, right? So I was under pressure. I'll confess to you, I was under pressure. Because a lot of all the other consultants were putting all these team building sessions they are doing and what they are doing and what they are doing. And the devil lied to me and said, Macduff, if you don't do this, You're going to lose clients. Clients these days go on Facebook. They go on social media and all that. So me, I went on Facebook. And I said, I wrote something that looked churchy. Looked very spiritual. As the year is coming to an end, we are grateful to God for what God has done in our lives. And all these clients who have worked with us this year, we want you to understand, thank you very much. So I listed 29 on Facebook. First day, I didn't feel anything. After day number 3, the Lord came to me and says, why did you do that? Did those clients of yours that you're busy bragging about, did you apply for any of them? I said, no, I didn't do so. Says, oh, so you think you applied. Now you want to start putting it on Facebook. Go remove it. They came looking for you. I worked on your behalf behind the scenes. That is pride. Go remove it.
Amen.
I went, I removed it quietly, and I left.
Amen.
And I told myself, I said, God, I'm not going to do anything when my spirit is not in the right place.
Amen.
And I've read of men of God who did amazing things for God. They did not advertise anything. They were not on TV. They were not on radio. And this morning I told God, God, even if KICC is 5 people, I'm in.
Amen.
Because you know what is going to make a difference? Love.
Amen.
Whatever you're doing in life, the love of God is the thing that is going to determine whether you get a reward or not. And I want you to understand, some of us may not get a reward in heaven. Because what was the motive behind us doing what we did? Even giving. I get scared that I appear before God and my works are rejected. And the reason why God rejects it is because there is no stamp of love on it. We are in a quest right now. There is pressure. There is pressure to succeed. There is pressure for competition. There is pressure to achieve at all costs. There is pressure to be great. There is pressure for everything. Even in marriage, husband and wife can be in a competition. As long as people are together, we as a church, as long as we are together, there will always be temperamental differences. Ena fendo huwa, ena nuso huwa. Ena ndadu, ena fenda akuma. That's what makes the body the body. The main reason why marriages are not working, businesses are falling apart, churches are falling apart, is because I don't think we are really born again.
Amen.
I don't think so. Jesus taught Nicodemus something. It's in the Bible. And he told him, I found it in the Bible today. I'm like, oh God. This is what he said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 6. That which is born of flesh, of the flesh, is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And other versions puts it like this. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. Humans can produce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. That means you cannot walk this spiritual walk without the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But what role is the Holy Spirit playing in your life right now? Only the Spirit of the living God can take dry bones, can take people who are dead in trespasses, can take people who are in rebellion against God and make them spiritual alive.
Amen.
Only the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Only the Spirit of the living God. And possibly we need to open our hearts and say, Holy Spirit, take full control of my life.
Amen.
Flesh gives birth to what?
Flesh.
And I'll tell you, a lot of the stuff we do is flesh.
Amen.
Kisa na mizani. Ineo, kumano, ha, ineo, kungori kuchiju kwe suma nduwaza ya. Sama ndimbira nyimbo ijai, itiyo. Obrigado, dina imba kare kare. Ina kama imba obrigado, jikwembo za matimba, mpami ni mano kuri. Zima, akuyenda, akuyenda. Ha, ka imbe weka. Wanjo za ka imba weka. I'm telling you.
Amen.
And here are the questions God was asking me this morning. And I want to ask. So I'm going to put them as if I'm addressing you, right? But this is somebody addressing you. Or you are addressing me. So maybe let's put it in this way. You are addressing me. It will sound nice. Why do we have to fear you, Pastor McDuff, like we do, and yet you tell us you are born again and spirit-filled? Why do people have to fear you like they do when you say you are born again and spirit-filled? Do you know their wives who fear their husbands? Do you know their husbands who fear their wives? Because mau amina matruka ndi moto. Your husband by now has chosen not to speak again because you are so disrespectful. Number two. Why are we afraid to speak in your presence, Macduff, and yet you tell us you are born again and spirit-filled? Why am I afraid to speak in your presence? And yet you tell me you're born again and you're spirit-filled. Why are you handled with care? And yet you tell me you're born again and spirit-filled.
Amen.
Why is there so much complaining about each other in the body of Christ when we say we are born again and spirit-filled? Why is there so much evil done by a brother or a sister to another sister or to another brother when we say we are born again and spirit-filled? Why is it that when you were poor, you were more godly than now that you have tasted money? Now you know that there's wine. Now it's when you know that there's Daniel. Jack Daniels or Daniels?
Daniels.
Daniels. Why is it? When you were poor, you were more godly. Now you know there's four cousins or five. And yet you told me you're born again and spirit-filled. Why is it not now you're more successful? And the more successful you become, you have become more sinful and even have more ego. When you were not more successful, you were humble. Where has the humility gone? Why is it that Christian brothers are sending their dear ones to mental hospital because of their treatment when they say they are born again or spirit-filled? Why is it that the sisters are sending the men? They cannot look forward to coming back home because they know if I return home, it's World War IX. And yet you tell us you're born again and spirit-filled. And I can tell you for a fact, the Lord of believers, even in here, KICC, because this is happening in every church,
amen,
who are not enjoying their marriages.
Amen.
We can come and say, Yeshua, Hamashiach, Lion of Judah, Hakune Shemba, Washemba Badibu. You know, we who are elders in every house, in every home, the elders always set the example. And the children do exactly what we do. And because our marriages are so much of a mess, the young ones today are going into marriage with plan B.
Amen.
People don't believe in marriages anymore. I told you, your children by the age they are 12, they know everything you believe and everything you don't believe. They know everything. You can't fake it. Anything you go into in life, whether it's business, whether it's church, whether it's a relationship, whether it's marriage, whether it's a job, and you go into that with plan B, you know what's going to happen? It's not going to work. It's not going to work because you're not 100% committed to it.
Amen.
The only way to make it work in life, you need to be all in. And I will tell you something very interesting. Even marriage counseling is not going to make your marriage work because you're not all in. I've been approached many times, mostly by wives, rarely by husbands. So this is how it goes. Pastor McDuff, we hear you do marriage counseling. My husband and I, we wanted to meet you. Okay, well, you can come. They come. And immediately you realize one of them has been dragged into that meeting. You can guess who. And this is the one who was saying, I will love you till the day Jesus Christ comes. And in me, you're going to see Christ. And now he's being dragged to come to a meeting at Amangira Shingwe. And then they begin to tell me the story. And they say, we have tried everything. And we just want to try this marriage counseling with you. And if it doesn't work, we are going to separate. And my response has always shocked the couples when they come and tell me that. Because this is my response. I can save all of us an hour of our lives. I think you just need to separate now. And I tell them, my time is precious. Your time is precious. And I think the best you can do, separate now. Because you want to try. You're not committed. Marriage counseling only works if a couple goes into it without a plan B.
Amen.
Marriage counseling only brings lasting change if both the husband and wife are all in. If one of them is in, you're wasting your time. A marriage retreat can only be effective if you are all in. If you have a contingency plan and a backup plan, do you know what you're saying? I'm already assuming that this thing is going to fail. Marriage counseling can be game-changing. And the reason why we do marriage counseling, some of us go for marriage counseling, it's not because our marriages are weak. It's because we want to build a strong marriage. For a long time in our lives, we had two marriage counselors who have counseled us throughout, till now. One of them died. One of them is still alive. He can call me and say, Magda, tell me the truth about this. And some of the this can be very sensitive. But I say, sir, this is the truth. A pastor without a pastor is not a pastor.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We came to church. Marriage counseling can actually serve, can be game changing. It can actually save a shattered marriage and make even a good marriage great. But you know what? It requires more than many people are willing to give. And many people are not willing to give, they are not willing to give 100%. It's 100% commitment, it's 100% honesty. No lies. It's 100% vulnerability. I'm willing. Nibanga disclose chidi chonse. Ndipo ine kuchima ndikuzwa kuti ndachimwa. But I'm disclosing everything.
Amen.
Mukandisiya kume muzipita kondipita nawo. It requires 100% forgiveness. It requires 100% ownership and 100% grace. And if there is a place where is 2% grace, marriages.
Amen.
Amen. I'm married. Many of us go into marriage counseling with the thought, if it doesn't work, then I'll do this. And the moment you say that, your heart is not fully engaged. And the plan B we have had has prevented us from experiencing transformation and the change we desperately need, even in the church. I can tell you this. Very, very few people are 100% in, not even in the church, with Christ. That's why it doesn't work. And hallelujah.
Amen.
That's the reason why it doesn't work. If you want things to work with Christ, 100%. If you give Christ 90%, it's not going to work. So I'm not even going to talk about church. Because you know what? We thank God church came. But Elisha had no church. Prophet Hezekiah had no church. Isaiah had no church. Habakkuk also had no church. Even Jonah had no church. The church came in the New Testament. God can use you mightily without a church.
Amen.
And even without a title.
Amen.
All you need is consumed with God's love. So the reason why there is no 100% commitment even to church is because there is no 100% commitment with what? With God.
Amen.
Otherwise, we're just wasting each other's time. And I'll tell you the truth, going all in is risky. It's very risky.
Amen.
Pursuing your spouse with no contingency plan, do you know what it means? It means you can get hurt. In the end. And you're going to say, I was a fool.
Amen.
But you know what? Better be a fool for Christ.
Amen.
Because you know you did God's word.
Amen.
And at the end of the day, you are not the fool. They are the fool. Because the Lord is going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You don't need to cheat because your husband is cheating. You don't need to cheat because your wife is cheating. Remain faithful before God, and God is going to reward you.
Amen.
When you go all in, you are vulnerable. But God shows up even in your weakest point. Maybe we don't experience God's power to transform our marriages and even our churches because we are busy trying to protect ourselves.
Amen.
Because truth of the matter is, all of us who are in church, even me, I came from somewhere, you know that? I wasn't born in KICC. Today, we're alive. I wasn't born in KICC. I came from somewhere. And I will tell you the truth. I will not tell you where I came from. I will just disclose that I've been in International Central Gospel Church. I've been in Living Waters. I've been in Bracknell Family Church. I've been in CCAP. And in all these churches, I have met brothers and sisters. You know what I mean, right? I've been through things with brothers and sisters. Some of the things, me, is the one who did it. Some of it was the brothers and the sisters who did it. And some of it was the pastors who did it. So you can come to a church like this, and you have come, your antennas are already high, receiving all the wavelength.
Yes.
So immediately one of us says something, you say, I already saw it happening elsewhere, plan B. Then I call you, or somebody calls you, says, no, I'll be in church on Sunday. You know you're lying. And it's because you're trying to protect yourself from being disappointed again, from being hurt again. When you go all in, brothers, one thing I'll guarantee you, you'll be hurt.
Amen.
If you're not ready to be hurt, faith, don't get married.
Amen.
Because he will be fully, truly, 100% human being.
Amen.
So if you're not ready to get hurt, my daughter, Pia didn't go in there.
Amen.
The reason I'm saying these things is because our world is in a chaos. There's too much chaos out there. And you know where people are looking for answers and solutions? In the church. But we are as chaotic as the world. Maybe even more chaotic than the world. Because for the world, that's their order. But those of us who are trying to be God and chaos, then our chaos is proper chaos. Possibly in the church today we can say, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, but the Spirit was hovering around. Because if the Holy Spirit truly rests here, this place is going to be different. Only God's love will stop the world from collapsing. So let me tell you what love is. Love is patient and kind. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Love is not jealousy. If you are jealousy of another brother in church, sister in church, there's no love. Love is not envious. If you envy another person, don't tell me this is good envy. Envy is envy. Love is not boastful. It does not parade itself. Love is not proud. Love is not puffed up. Love is not rude. It does not behave rudely. Love does not demand its own way. It's either my way or the highway. That's not love. Love is not irritable. You know what irritable is? People have to be very careful when they are around you. Because if they just say that thing, volcano, oh, I'll never speak to you again.
Amen.
Those things we used to do when we were a child. Because when we were a child, I'll say, I'll never be a friend again. And then 2 seconds later, hey, my dog, you just told me you'll never be my friend again. You cannot be walking in love and you are irritable. Love is not provoked. Love does not think evil. Love keeps no record of being wronged. Unaandinakwira chakachata pa 2 July firiko loko masana unavala dress yake mpula. Love doesn't have those records. Love does not rejoice about injustice. Akaulichaonanso. Love doesn't rejoice in that. Love rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love simatsika antu. Ndinamutsika amene ucha. Love doesn't do that. Love bears all things. Love never loses faith. Love believes all things. Love always looks for the best. Love always trusts God. Love is always hopeful. It does not look back. The moment you say, I regret, that's not love. I regret I came to KICC, that's not love. I regret I married Melda, that's not love. I regret I married Macduff, that's not love. I regret I went into business with him, that's not love. I regret I went to work there, that's not love. Love endures through every circumstance. It keeps going to the end. Love never fails. Love never dies. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Prophecies will be over someday. We are wasting time to be talking about this. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Praying in tongues will end one day. We never do rabba rabba rabba, shake rababa, kura bo 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 bo. It will end. When you speak that one tomorrow, just know it will end. Because it's not the real deal. The real deal is love. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Even your understanding today has got its own limit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says in verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. We know only a portion of the truth and say, and truth of the matter is, what we say about God is not always complete. That's why you read one verse today, you see something, you read it tomorrow, you wonder. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When the complete arrives, our incomplete will be cancelled. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. When I grew up, I left those infant ways for good. These days, we don't become and say, hey, you've done this, I won't be your friend again. That one we used to do, Pastor Patrick, when we were children.
Amen.
Now we are adults. Now we eat meat. And when we eat meat, the stomach has to do its job. When our baby, I think I've told you this, when our baby, our firstborn child, had reached the stage where he could eat sima, and we didn't know. We were still feeding him these things from the market. Yogurt and these things. And we were very proud. Hey, no, this one, there's chicken in it. Hey, you like it? Our pastor visited us one day with his wife. And he says, and the wife says, Mrs. Spear, Ashmane, mukunsungani manjara at mana imuba. And he said, no. He says, okay. Melda, let's go to the kitchen. So they went into the kitchen. Says, who followed that? Oh. Put it on the fire. She put it on the fire. Says, you're not the one to cook, I'll cook. So she took porridge, put it in there, prepared a very nice sima. One ntanda. Put it on the plate. Says, don't give me Neo, give me Susie. So she gave him Susie. Says, let's go for sitting room. I'm gonna go. So I went to my sitting room, I was busy chatting with our pastor, and then she says, look at me now. So we looked at her, and she started taking Sema. One. In my mind, my wife and I were saying, she's killing our baby. She's killing our baby. El Shaddai and Amba. One, two, three. Until the horn tanda was finished. And she said, where has the Sema gone? I said, I think in the stomach. She says, you were keeping this baby hungry. That's why amango lira lira. And in no time, she took a bottle of water, gave her the water, the baby drank the water, went to sleep. And in a long time, my wife and I had peace. Those things we did when we were children. Now, let me speak to you parents. You are failing in your parent duties when you come to church and you leave your children at home. You will regret. Don't come and tell me, hey, magana kudzuka kutiko. Kutiko, kumena magana kudzuka kutiko. Because one day, if that boy impregnates somebody, please let me not be part of it. If that girl gets pregnant, please let us not be part of it. Because the answers we are looking for are in the church. But I also know that there are some people in the church who look like church. But they're not church.
Amen.
Hallelujah, church.
Amen.
Let's bring our children to church.
Amen.
For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then we'll see him face to face. Now I know in part, but I shall know just as I am also known. We don't yet see things clearly, but it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. And we'll see it all then, and see it as clear as God sees us, knowing him directly, just as he knows us. That's a message. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. The message says, but for now, until that completeness, we have three things to lead us toward the consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly. And the best of these three is love. Carrying the love of God in our heart and carrying the love of God in your heart is not going to make you less anointed. It will actually make you more anointed. When you walk in love, people open up to receive easily from you. So it's not about succeeding. It's not about breakthrough. It's about the love of God. Unfortunately, love has departed from the corridors of the church. We need in 2024 to bring love, brotherly love, where the Lord commands the blessing in KICC Malawi. That's why I don't want us to just talk about more than enough, is to do good. You can't have something new in 2024 if you keep on doing the same old things.
Amen.
This year is calling for complete surrender. That's where life, change in life, that's where transformation is found. Whether in your marriage, whether in your walk with God, whether in church. Can we not have plan B this year? Can we just have plan A? God, it's you and you alone and with you all the way. Let's go all in 2024. In our service to God and in serving each other. If you see a need in church this year and you are able to meet that need, just go ahead and do it and don't even say, "Andika uzegaya abusa." Let's just hear you've already done it. Obia, later, we are doing leadership training. I'm suspending all meetings on Saturdays for now until we are done with that leadership training. Because when we are done with that, then we understand how to serve each other better. This coming Friday, Saturday, we are not having a training. There's a night of prayer on Friday. Can we see your love for God?
Amen.
Seek things that are above. Don't tell me, I know, ni makanika night of prayer. We welcome you. If you want me, I can bring mattresses. Just let me know in advance. I'll get mattresses. You can sleep at the back. No problem. But as long as you're sleeping at the back, and some of us, we are speaking these things that are coming to an end shortly, yes. We'll cover you with the grace.
Yes.
Come for night of prayer on Friday. Even if you're going to school on Saturday or to work on Saturday, come and pray until midnight. The 3 hours of prayer are going to do more for you.
Amen.
And then you can go and sleep. Because truth of the matter is, even 9 o'clock, most of you are not in bed. You are either, why chukucha, either that, you are either watching a movie. Movie is not Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sacrifice that movie on Friday night.
Amen.
Sacrifice that series on Friday night.
Amen.
Come for prayer. Let the Lord answer you.
Amen.
I was telling the leaders yesterday, honestly, in my heart, I want you to walk in good.
Amen.
I want you to walk in some great things.
Amen.
You haven't seen anything yet. But you know what? It takes going all in with Christ.
Amen.
So we start the leadership training next week, Saturday, on the 3rd of February. We'll do the heart of a leader. That's what we'll be talking about. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that we can serve each other. And leadership is everybody's business. I want to see you according to your ability. Do something in church this year. Bless the church. Bless brothers. Go serve out there. Go the two of you and say, let's just go and make a difference. Let's show people love. Let's make a difference in our community. Let's make a difference in our nation. Above all, let's make a difference in each other's life. Do not grow weary in doing good. For you shall reap in due season if you do not give up.
Amen.
That means if you give up, you'll not reap. Let's visit each other at home, in our homes.
Amen.
If you hear somebody's uncle, somebody's grandmother, somebody's father is in hospital, just go, brothers. Just go. If somebody's bereaved, let us stand with each other. Church, we need each other.
Amen.
We need each other. Let us not do Christianity in town. I would rather do Christianity yajimizi as long as I demonstrate the love of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's be there for each other. So speak to your neighbor and say, this year I'll be there for you. Speak. Speak. Tell people today. We are making a commitment and say we are saying, I'll be there for you. Pastor Sunga, this year I'll be there for you.
Amen.
And Naomi, this year I'll be there for you. If I'm not there for you, demand it. And I'm not going to be irritable. I want to be there. KG, I want to be there for you this year. Okay? Sister Patricia, I want to be there for you this year. Winnie, I want to be there. Emma's, you went in at my Angola, but I want to tell you, I want to be there for you this year. Paul, I'll be there for you. Kumbwe, Kwima, I want to be there. Remember, don't say first name.
McDonald.
I won't be there for you this year.
Amen.
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 If I don't visit you this year, demand it. This year, I want to visit everybody in KICC.
Amen.
Those of you who haven't visited yet, I repent. No, I want to build relationships with people this year. Because we have done too much transaction. Why should we be giving to KICC when there's no relationship between you and me? Why? It's because I want your money. I come here and say, hey, God bless us. Hey, give it to come back to you. Where? With no love. God blesses the cheerful giver. Who got his hand? Hey, good measure. Which measure? With no love. He opened the windows of heaven. A man. Thank God he's the one who opens. Let's build relationships this year. That's our first goal in 2024. And there are only two things we are going to do this year. But this one is the one we are doing. If by the time we finish this year, everybody has been able to visit each other. Me, this year, in my busy schedules, I want to visit everybody. I want to come to your house. Even if you are in Chisi, I'll come. Try me, you see. We need to be there for each other. We are the body of Christ. We are not the nose of Christ. We are not the foot of Christ. We are not the nail of Christ. If we were only the nail, then where would the hand be? Let's build relationships this year. Let's be there for each other this year. But you know what? We'll also annoy each other. But we'll keep no record of wrongs.
Amen.
Because these three, faith, hope, and love, are the ones that will take there. But the greatest of all these is love. Let there be love among us.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.